title. Tape his placement in the mix, using arrangement view intermediate. All right, let's talk about Tate Hiss in drum and bass, and I mean the useful kind, not the I slapped vinyl crackle on the master and called it a day kind. In DNB, Hiss can be a real arrangement tool. It can glue fast drums, smooth out digital sharpness, and make transitions feel like they were designed on purpose. But it only works if you place it correctly through the song, especially in arrangement view where your structure lives. In this lesson, you're going to build a controlled hiss layer I like to call a hiss bed. It's going to sit behind the drums and bass without stealing the hat presence. It'll swell in breakdowns and transitions, duck out of the way during drops, and it'll be easy to manage with automation so it behaves like a musical part. Go ahead and open Ableton Live and hit Tab to get into arrangement view. Step 0 is choosing a hiss source that won't waste your time. The fastest, most reliable option is a steady tape hiss or vinyl noise sample. Drag that onto a new audio track. Try to pick something consistent, without loud pops or random thumps, unless you specifically want that character. If you don't have a sample, you can generate noise, create a MIDI track, load operator, switch it to noise, then put an auto filter after it. Either way works, but samples often feel more believable. Now rename the track Hiss BED. Naming matters, because you're about to treat this like a proper layer in your arrangement, not a random effect you forget about. Step 1 is putting hiss where it belongs in the timeline. Think in a typical DNB structure. Intro, build, drop, breakdown. Second drop, outro. The placement idea we're going for is classic and it works across subgenres. In the intro, hiss is present at a moderate level. It helps set the tape as rolling feeling and can make DJ blends feel stable. In the build, the hiss rises slightly. Not dramatically, just enough to signal energy. At the drop, the hiss is reduced or ducked. This is huge. You protect punch, you protect snare snap, and you keep your top end clean. In the breakdown, the hiss comes back, often wider, often darker, often more noticeable, because the arrangement is sparse and you can afford it. And here's the money move. Right before the drop, cut the hiss for a quarter bar to a full bar. That moment of silence creates impact. Then, when the drop hits, you can bring the hiss back subtly after 2 to 4 bars, so it glues without masking. So do this now. Duplicate your hiss clip so it covers the whole tune. Make sure it loops cleanly. If you end up with lots of little clips, consolidate sections so you're not juggling a million edits. And quick tip, even with steady noise, add tiny fades at clip edges. 2 to 10 milliseconds is enough to avoid clicks and avoid that hard-gated by accident sound. Step 2. Gain staging. Do this early, because if you set the hiss too loud, you'll build the whole mix around a problem. As a starting point, aim for the hiss BED living somewhere around -24 to -14 dB on the channel fader. And here's a teacher rule that actually works. If you can clearly hear the hiss over your hats during the drop, it's almost always too loud for modern DNB. Better workflow. Put a utility first in the chain and use it as your trim. Set utility gain to around -12 dB to start. Now the channel fader stays free for overall moves, and your automation can target the utility cleanly. And I want you to do one calibration step right now. Loop the busiest 8 bars of your drop, including any fills. This is your drop safe zone. Set the hiss so it's barely detectable here. Then you automate upward everywhere else. That one habit prevents you from ending up with a cool texture that secretly weakens every transient in your track. Step 3. Shake the hiss so it doesn't wreck your top end. On the Hiss BED track, build this chain. First, EQ 8. High pass it somewhere around 150 to 300 Hz and make it steep. You do not want the hiss bringing low mid fog. Depending on the sample, there can be rumble or mid junk that makes your whole mix feel cloudy. Then listen to your hats and snare presence. A live DNB hat clarity lives around 7 to 12k. If the hats lose definition when hiss is on, don't only turn down the hiss. Carve space. You can do a small dip around 6 to 10k if it's fighting. And if the hiss feels like a spray can, that harsh ultratop, try a gentle shelf down above 12 to 16k. Next device. Autofilter, set to low pass. Put the frequency somewhere around 8 to 14k as a starting range, and keep resonance subtle, like 0.1 to 0.3. We're going to automate this, so keep it stable for now. Then add glue compressor, lightly. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack around 10 milliseconds. Release on auto or around 0.3 seconds. Set threshold so you're only getting 1 to 2 dB of reduction at the loudest points. Makeup off. The goal is to control, not to hype. At this point, you've got a hiss that's trimmed, band managed, and consistent. Now step 4 is the real lesson. making his follow the song using arrangement view automation. Press it to show automation lanes, and instead of automating the track fader, automate utility gain. It's cleaner, it's more repeatable, and it keeps your mix moves organized. Here's a solid automation map you can start with. In the intro, set utility gain so the hiss sits around minus 18 dB. Just a steady bed. During the build, ramp it up to around minus 14 dB over 8 bars. Not instantly, make it feel like energy rising. On the last beat before the drop, dip it all the way down to minus infinity. Hard cut. That's the jungle tension trick right there. At the drop, pull it down to around minus 22 to minus 24 dB, especially for the first 8 bars. Let the drums breathe. Then in the breakdown, bring it back up to around minus 14 to minus 16 dB. As you write this, do a quick listening test at low monitoring level, like conversation volume. If the hiss is still obvious in the drop at that level, it's too hot. Then go even quieter. At very low level, the hiss should still change the perceived density when you mute and unmute it. That's the sweet spot. Felt more than heard. Now add filter automation so the hiss also follows the energy curve. Automate auto filter frequency. In the breakdown, you might keep it darker, maybe low pass around 6 to 9K. In the build, sweep it up toward 12 to 16K so things feel like they're opening. Then in the drop, don't necessarily leave it wide open. Often you want it slightly lower than the build, like 10 to 12K, so your hats stay crisp and forward. That contrast helps the drop read as cleaner and tighter, even if the drums are the exact same samples. Step 5. Duck the hiss to the drums, because DNB lives and dies on transients. Method 1 is classic sidechain compression. Add a normal compressor after your EQ and filter on the hiss track. Turn on sidechain, set the input to your drum boss, or at least your kick and snare group. Try ratio 4 to 1, attack 1 to 3 milliseconds, release 80 to 150 milliseconds. Adjust threshold so you get about 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction when the drum hits. You're not trying to make it pump like a house track unless you want that as a style choice. You're trying to make space for kick and snare impact. Method 2 is more chopped, more old school, a gate with sidechain from the drum bus. Set it snappy, like return at 0, release 80 to 200 milliseconds. Threshold so it opens mostly on snare and hats. This can create that noise pumping with the brakes vibe. And it's great if your track leans jungle. And here's an advanced coach move. Dual sidechain, two compressors in series. First one fast and deeper, keyed from kick and snare for transient protection. Second one slower and lighter, keyed from the full drum bus for overall pocket. This avoids the hiss doing that distracting bounce while still staying out of the way. Step 6. Arrangement tricks. This is where hiss becomes a transition tool, not just a background layer. First trick is the drop vacuum. Half a bar before the drop, automate the hiss to minus infinity. Also consider pulling down your reverb returns slightly at the same moment. The drop will hit harder without changing a single drum sample. Second trick is a rewind or spin back texture moment. In a fill, automate the hiss up quickly and filter it down hard, like low pass to 3 to 5K. For extra drama, send it to a short reverb just for that moment. Use a return track. Automate the send up for a quarter bar or a bar. Then pull it right back down so it doesn't smear your drop. Third trick is stereo management. Put a utility at the end of the hiss chain. You can widen it subtly, like 120 to 160%, but keep it under control. Better yet, automate width by section. During drops, keep it tighter, around 90 to 110%. During breakdowns and intros, widen it to around 130 to 160 so it feels atmospheric. If you want to get really clean, use EQ8 in mid-side mode and high pass the side channel around 300 to 600 Hz. That keeps the center clear for kick, snare, and sub, while the hiss still feels wide and spacious up top. Before we wrap, a quick list of mistakes to avoid. If your hiss is too loud in the drop, you'll know. The groove loses punch, the hats get less defined, and the whole thing sounds like it's behind a curtain. If you don't high pass it, you risk low mid mod that's hard to diagnose later. If you over whiten it, you can smear cymbals and make mastering harsher than it needs to be. If you leave hiss static for 4 minutes, it starts to feel like an accident, not a choice. The whole point is intentional placement. And if your sidechain is pumping harder than the groove, it becomes a gimmick. Now a quick practice pass you can do in 10 to 15 minutes. Create the hiss bed track, add utility, EQ8, auto filter, a side-chained compressor, then another utility if you want stereo control at the end. Set the initial utility gain around minus 12. High pass around 200 Hz. Side-chain from the drum bus. Aim for about 3 dB ducking on snare hits. Then write arrangement automation. intro around minus 18, build ramping to minus 14, 1 beat, before drop hard cut to silence, drop around minus 24, breakdown around minus 16, and automate the filter, breakdown around 7k, build sweeping up to 14k, drop around 10 to 12k, then export 30 to 60 seconds and do an A and B test, version with hiss muted, version with it on. You're listening for more cohesion and vibe, without losing punch. If the limiter on your master reacts more when hiss is enabled, that's a warning sign that there's too much energy in a sensitive band, often 8 to 16k. Fix it with band limiting or dynamic ducking, not just turning the track down. Final recap. In drum and bass, tape hiss is an arrangement layer. Use arrangement view automation so it rises in sparse sections, ducks in dense sections, and creates tension with hard cuts before drops. Protect your mix with high-pass filtering, controlled top end, sidechain ducking, and sane stereo width. The best hiss moves are often simple. Calibrate the drop safe zone, then automate contrast everywhere else. If you tell me your subdinner and whether your drums are break-based or two-step, plus your bar structure, I can map out a precise automation score for your hiss so it matches your arrangement like it was part of the composition.